Hello and welcome to the Carolina Snowflakes podcast, where two Southerners come to terms with their liberal snowflake tendencies. We're your hosts. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Jason. And we're here with episode 11 we're calling We Watched Fox News. And before we get into that, I want to timestamp this a little bit by saying that the other day, yesterday, Donald Trump got diagnosed with COVID.
He did.
Tested positive.
Yes.
So that's all in the news right now.
It's everywhere, yes.
And him and a bunch of other people. Apparently there was a super spreader event at the Rose Garden. So we wish him well, and we hope they all get better.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just letting you know when we're recording this.
Right.
Because that might matter.
Yeah. One day.
Yeah. So we have been watching Fox News. I mean, not like we like Fox News, but I'm saying we've been watching it, finding it as hilarious.
We used to watch it with some regularity.
Uh-huh.
Back in 2015, 2016, yeah. During the presidential debates,
yes.
And when Trump was running and all the other Republicans were running, we actually used to watch Fox News.
Oh, yeah, because it was funny. Not
yes.
Because we liked
it. No, we didn't watch it for information or for anything like that. We genuinely watched it because we found it entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
And it went from just watching like the debates and the talking heads to where we were also watching Fox and Friends in the morning.
Yeah, well, like, because it would be still on that channel and you would just wake up and cut the TV on. And
yeah, and
it would
just leave it on and we'd be getting ready for work in the morning and Fox and Friends would be on. And it again, we would just be amused and entertained.
Yeah.
Because those people are ridiculous.
I mean, it goes back a long way for me, that the tradition of listening to like Republican right-wing stuff and finding it funny. I used to deliver pizza when I was, you know, right out of high school, and I used to listen to Rush Limbaugh and be like, this fucker is crazy. Like,
I find that so strange though that you like would listen to Rush.
Oh yeah.
But not be a Rush head.
No, I hated him, and I thought what he was saying was stupid, but I thought it was hilarious, because it's like, listen to how crazy this is. And I would tell my friends, like, you ever heard this guy? He's fucking nuts.
See, I don't think I could do that, because I feel like I would be so triggered. And
yeah.
So, like, it's so angry. Like, the other morning when Ted Cruz was on NPR, and I got so worked up.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
in my car driving to work or whatever, and I was just yelling
at
just
Ted Cruz.
Yelling at Ted Cruz because I was so mad at the things he was saying.
I've always had a very strong stomach for stuff like that, even though the last episode where I talked about being on 4chan, it was rough. But I've always been good at being able to get entertainment out of somebody who I think is crazy.
And we were able to do that with Fox News.
For a long time.
For that, like, year and a half period. We basically, I turned the channel when Trump won.
Yeah.
I was like, well,
stopped after Trump
that's
won.
It. This isn't funny anymore.
Because during the debates, it was hilarious. He was like, Little Marco and Lion Ted. And,
and you could see, remember you, during the debates, you could see, like, Jeb Bush, just, like, the seething rage within him. Like,
yeah.
You could actually see this just burning from the inside out with rage.
If it was a cartoon, you would zoom in on his eyes and there would be flames flickering in his eyes.
And smoke coming out of his
coming
ears.
Coming out of his ears, yeah.
And we loved it. We thought
it was hilarious.
Just the most entertaining thing ever. And so we got into watching Fox News. Of course, then we became familiar with the people who were on Fox. And one of them was old Megyn Kelly.
Yeah.
And she...
She actually gave Trump hell for a little while.
She did, because she was one of the, I guess, what do they call them, panel question people during one of the debates.
Moderator.
Yeah, moderator, questioner during one of the debates. And you always liked her because you thought she was hot.
Yeah.
Right. I was just like, whatever, she's just a pretty lady on TV. But then she started questioning Trump during one of those debates. And she was giving him hell.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, okay, I like this lady.
Who's
this? You know? And I was like, Megyn Kelly, she's all right. And so when she left Fox because of the whole, like, you know, sexual harassment takedown.
Yeah.
And went to NBC. You and I were actually kind of excited because NBC gave her own show.
Yeah, I was kind of excited because I was like, well, she's switching from Fox News to NBC.
Yeah, we were like, she's come to her senses and she's getting her own sit-down style, like Barbara Walters-esque interview show.
It was something I thought was going to be good.
Yeah, so we were actually genuinely excited for her. And to watch her, especially because I think her very first episode was a sit-down interview with Alex Jones.
Yeah, it was. It was an interview with Jones of InfoWars.
And they built it up for like 2 weeks of like, Megyn Kelly interviews Alex Jones. You don't want to miss it. And we're like, well, we don't want to miss it, A, because it's Megyn Kelly and we have this newfound respect for her, and B, because it's Alex Jones and that man is insane.
I know. If she gave Donald Trump hell, as crazy
as he
is.
I couldn't wait for her to sit down with him and just ask him, like, are you clinically or, you know, have you ever been diagnosed with, with something, sir? Because you seem nuts. All your conspiracy theories. And what was it? The frogs are gay.
Yes.
Water. Was it water turning the frogs gay?
Yeah. Well, so if you're not familiar, Alex Jones runs a website called InfoWars, and he's a big conspiracy theory crazy person. And one of, during Obama's presidency, one of his conspiracies was that they had a chemical in the water that was making people gay, and it got leaked out into the water. It was making the frogs gay. And he was very upset about that.
That's one of like many.
Oh, well, he was a denier of Sandy Hook.
Oh, he was the, he was like the head kind of pusher of that theory.
He was
that
also,
Sandy Hook was not real.
Right.
That it was all like staged actors that we saw on television.
And he's gotten deplatformed from everything he had except for InfoWars by this point.
Yeah, they took him off Twitter, right? And all that.
But at the time, he was still kind of allowed on all that stuff, and Megyn Kelly was interviewing him.
Right.
And
so we were excited to watch that. We tuned in and
it was horrible.
It was such
She gave him nothing but horrible softball questions.
It was like a 30-minute, what's your favorite color?
And then they replayed parts of it. It was like literally 10 minutes of interview that they just chopped up and spread out over 30 minutes.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was awful.
It was really, really bad. And we were like, oh.
Yeah, it didn't get into any of Alex Jones' like actual craziness, which...
No.
What was the point?
There was no point.
Yeah.
Why sit down with him if you're not going to get...
She has since then just sort of fell off. Her show was terrible. She interviewed somebody else.
She's not on there anymore.
Right.
They took her off in less than a year.
Yeah, she didn't even make a whole season because it was bad.
It was just bad.
Yeah.
And now she's not doing...
I don't know what the hell
I don't
she's
think
doing
she's
now.
Doing anything as far as like that goes, talking head stuff. She's on Twitter like defending Trump, but that's about it, which is weird.
That is weird.
Since he said some really nasty things about her.
He did. He was the one who like... really said she was bleeding from every hole or something like that,
like bleeding from everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, oh God,
oh, Jesus,
sir.
Man.
Yeah. Gross.
Gross to you, sir.
And part of the reasons why Megyn Kelly left Fox News was because that was during that whole like Me Too movement, when all of these like top level executives and talking heads and important people were getting accused of, and in some cases arrested, charged, etc., for violating women.
Yeah,
and
it was
Megyn
happening everywhere.
Yeah, and Megyn was one of those who lodged complaints against the folks at Fox News.
Yeah. I remember that very specifically because that was one of the reasons she was gone from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't know if it was related to Bill O'Reilly or not, but I know that Bill O'Reilly was one of the people that also...
Yeah, I can't remember if her complaints were against him directly.
I think
or
she
if they,
had some. I don't remember
Or if they
for
were
sure.
against Roger Ailes, who was the CEO.
I can't remember the details.
Because he had his own...
And this was 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, and he had his own issues as far as like women accusing him of violations.
Yeah.
Sexual harassment.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he did.
But the point is, Fox News, or as we're calling it for this episode, Faux News.
Yeah.
They routinely feed conspiracy theories.
Oh, yeah.
Not like Alex Jones. They're not making claims that frogs are gay.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily make direct claims.
Yeah, they just give nods to it.
They feed them. Mm-hmm. So they just will drop little nuggets and little hints at certain things to cast doubt on truth.
Yeah, or they'll say something like, I've noticed like one of the things they'll do is say something like, there are some folks out there claiming that Donald Trump is saving children from getting pedophiled. And then that's it. They won't say these people that believe this are crazy and that they're like a tiny little online group. They just say it as if there are some people out there. Yeah.
They just give a little nod.
Yeah, it's like they give more weight than it's worth to the conspiracy theory.
They'll actually issue like retractions or corrections later.
Yeah.
But they do it very quietly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so they'll say something that's completely false and then the next day, in a very small print on their website, they'll make a statement mm-hmm. correcting it where they know no one's going to actually see it.
Mm-hmm. Fox News has a way of what it chooses to call news and what it chooses not to call news is very subjective and very
for sure
slanted. Like, the bias isn't just in the words they say, it's what they don't say and what they don't cover and what they do cover.
Well, that's part of the reason why Fox exists in the first place.
Yeah, it is, actually. That was like the founding idea of it.
Yeah, well, if you go back and listen to our episode on the radical left, mm-hmm. Fox News is a product of 40, 50 years of conservatives seeking out their own voice in the media.
It is, yeah. Yeah.
And that was the product.
Yeah.
Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah, there's like a really well written on history of the building up to why Fox News existed. And it isn't like they know they're biased. The whole point of it was to give things a quote unquote conservative spin,
right?
Because they thought the other news had a left spin.
They did. And that goes back in that episode I talk about in the 40s
mm-hmm.
when they started producing those magazines to give
readership. I believe Human Interest was one of them.
And something Mercury.
Mercury, yeah.
Yeah, to give a voice to conservatives through written media. Well, with the rise of television and then cable television, this was an opportunity to give a voice through that media.
Yeah.
And thus Fox News was born.
It was.
And they do acknowledge, I mean, they, as you said, that was part of the reasons that they were mm-hmm. founded was to be a conservative voice. But
right.
they also like to fancy themselves as journalists.
They do.
So they have to, to some degree, mind their P's and Q's because they can get stripped of that title of like a news source.
If they
if they consistently are mm-hmm. not reporting news in a factual and unbiased way.
Right.
And they skirt that line.
Oh, yeah.
Constantly.
Well, that's all they do. They live on that line.
They constantly defend Trump.
Oh, yeah. It's just propaganda for Trump at this point.
And not even in a way that's like overt. Again, it's much like the conspiracy theories where they'll drop little nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, they don't come on the air and say like, Trump is the best president who ever presidented in the history of presidents. Trump says that himself.
Yeah, he does.
Fox comes on and talks about these alleged great things that Trump is doing for America over and over and over. And then they'll talk about how terrible things would be if he wasn't the president.
Right.
And that kind of puts the fear into mm-hmm. the viewer.
Yeah, and then Sean Hannity will yell at somebody about defunding the police and
right. And talk about how if you defund the police, then it's just mass chaos and people are going to get murdered in the streets and there will be no law and order.
Yeah.
So they spin the narrative constantly
mm-hmm.
to create a lean.
Yeah. But I feel like I like seeing that because I like seeing what everyone's doing. I mean, it's so obvious with Fox News. You don't really have to watch more than a few minutes of it to get what they're doing. But I don't know. I guess I'm a masochist because I was able to watch it for a really long time.
I was only able to watch it because at that point, I found it entertaining.
I still do, kind of.
I don't anymore.
Yeah, it got too real.
they do things
real.
Like defend Trump's comments and his actions.
They do.
And that really disturbs me.
Mm-hmm.
When Trump came out, you remember the Unite the Right rally
in
Charlottesville where the guy ran over and killed the girl.
Yes, Heather Heyer.
And Trump came out and made a statement about there are good people on both sides.
Yeah.
Well, Fox News picked up the story and defended his comments about he's a president who's trying to unite us and he clearly sees the good in all people. And it's just like, nope, changing the channel.
Yeah.
Nope.
Well, I agree. I mean, it got too real is what happened.
It got too real. And then they've continued that with coronavirus.
Oh, yeah.
And actually been a little more blatant, both in downplaying the severity until just recently, really.
Yeah.
Where they're like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. If you're not old or infirm or feeble, mm-hmm. then you'll be fine.
Oh, yeah.
They were doing that. And they were also touting the greatness of this hydroxychloroquine stuff, medication that Trump, I guess, has stock in or something.
Yeah.
Which, ironically, now that he himself has COVID, they're not giving him hydroxychloroquine.
I noticed that. They're giving him the other one.
That remdesivir. And then some, like, antiviral test medication. Yeah. No mention of this hydroxychloroquine at all.
That's interesting.
Oh, the irony.
Mm-hmm.
During the Russia investigation, Trump would always make claims that it was a witch hunt, remember?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And he was just raging about Mueller.
Uh-huh.
And still Comey, even though by that point Comey was, like, gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
he
witch
hunt.
He
was really mad at Comey. He still is.
He still is.
Yeah.
Fox, at that point, also supported the argument that it was a witch hunt.
For sure.
And this is one of those, like, kind of running jokes that when literally every other station is covering hard news on Trump doing something bad or saying something stupid, mm-hmm. Fox is covering something like, the ducks are flying south for winter. Yeah. Let's watch.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you're like, what are you people doing?
Uh-huh.
Like, that's a running joke
it's hilarious.
About how they just won't cover the news. They'll talk about anything else.
Over the years, though, I have to say there are some funny things that I've seen on there, especially on Fox and Frames. They had this, like, low-budget vibe sometimes where they'd be sitting there recording outside and it'd be too windy and their hair would be blowing and they couldn't really communicate and they'd be yelling.
Or if you've ever watched, like, morning news, like, on the big stations, so, like, Good Morning America.
Yeah.
Or, like, Morning Joe or whatever. If they're, when they're filming outside, this is all pre-COVID, obviously.
Yeah.
They would be filming outside, they would routinely have, like, masses of people.
Mm-hmm. In the background.
In the background. Like, the tourists would come to Times Square or wherever they're filming.
Right.
And they would stake out at, like, 4 o'clock in the morning.
I think it's at 30 Rock, yeah.
And wait for the shows to begin filming so that they could hold up their signs and wave and, you know, and be seen. Well, it was never like that on Fox and Friends.
No, it wasn't. It was always, there was one guy.
There was one time we were watching in the morning and there was one guy in the background.
Just sipping coffee.
Standing there staring directly into the camera from behind the morning show folks, just sipping his coffee.
Just staring directly into
the camera. Sipping his coffee and staring into the camera. And we were just like, you and I were just enamored with him.
I was dying laughing because he was there for like 10 minutes while they're pretending to do the news. Behind them is just some guy staring directly into the camera every 10 seconds or so, taking a sip off of his coffee.
Uh-huh.
See, those kinds of things are hilarious. Because
they're hilarious. And then the Fox and Friends crew, so it's two guys and a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And one guy is kind of the sort of smart one and kind of the leader of the group.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got the girl who plays the kind of gendered stereotype blonde of like, I don't know. Let's talk about purses.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the other guy who's like the frat guy who's not real smart, but he's like comic relief in a way. And he doesn't really even know he's being funny because he's not trying.
Yeah, he's just.
They have this little like trio and their system.
Yeah. It seems to work for them, but
it does work for them.
It's pretty funny.
Do you remember the morning where they had the one lady out climbing the rock wall outside?
She's like on a rock wall trying to do the weather or the news.
It was the weather girl. they were filming Fox and Friends in the morning, and they had a segment on like outdoor activities.
Yeah,
and they had put up one of those big rock walls.
Yeah, and she was climbing.
And they had the weather girl climbing this rock wall while giving the weather forecast for the nation.
Yeah.
And it was really bad weather that day in New York. So it was really windy and like leaves are blowing around.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like slinging around on her little ropes and harnesses and talking about it's going to be sunny in California today.
But then she starts saying, I can't even read the monitor, guys. Yeah, I can't even see it.
Yeah. And she's like, actually, to be honest, I can't see the monitor right now. So I'm just going to wing it.
Yeah.
And people were like, okay, great, thanks.
That happened just one random morning. I remember laughing my ass off at that.
Yeah.
So that's one of the joys of watching Fox News. At least it was.
It was. It used to be. I wouldn't do it now.
I don't think it's the same anymore.
No way. There was also one, I think it was Fox and Friends, when they brought out the server.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Because if you guys remember,
the server,
Hillary Clinton's emails were the talk of Fox News.
They were.
For like months. They were obsessed with this woman's emails and where they were. So one morning on Fox and Friends, they decided to talk about what is a server. Because if you remember, Hillary had a server in her home.
Yep, that was what everyone was upset about.
And I guess she wasn't supposed to, or it wasn't secure, or whatever. Well, they wanted to educate their viewers as to what a server was. So they brought out a nerd carrying a server.
A blade server, for those of you out there who might know.
Sits it on the table and just is like, don't touch this.
Yeah.
And of course, the three Fox and Friends hosts gather around and they're looking at this. And they're like, so this is Hillary's server?
And the guy's no,
and the nerd's like, no.
It's just a server.
It's just a server. Mm-hmm. So this is Hillary's server in her house? And they're like,
no.
No, it's just an example of a server.
And they're like, so her emails are in here?
And he's like, no, they're not in here. Don't touch it.
Yeah,
don't
touch it. It's $20,000.
And then they went, how much is it? And they were like, he was like, $20,000.
Yeah.
And they were like,
oh, well, I don't want to touch it.
Okay, we won't touch it. So what you're saying is this is the server that Hillary had in her house.
And the guy just eventually just got exacerbated. He was like, yep.
Gave up. He was like, yes, it is. This is Hillary's server. This is it.
It was really fun. I do remember that. The tech dude, he's holding this, blade server that obviously fits in a cabinet, like a server cabinet, and kind of not supposed to just be held and walked around. It's specifically supposed to kind of sit still.
Just supposed to sit in a room.
And for him, he's just thinking this thing's worth 20 G's.
Yeah. And he just kept telling him, don't touch it. Yeah, and then finally just gave up when they asked if it was, when they kept asking they if kept it was asking Hillary's if it was server.
So if we open that, well, there'll be like,
will the emails envelopes being will there, the emails fall out?
Be in the envelopes.
Will they fall out? And the thing is they weren't being funny.
I know.
Like they were trying to keep the conversation going for morning segment.
I remember that moment.
And it was just ridiculous. That was an excellent moment. We died laughing. It was so funny.
Really funny. That's kind of the comic relief that we got out of it. I think that was the reason we did it. If you can't understand why we would do that, that's why.
Yeah, and then also we really came to like some of the people that were in the Trump administration that we regularly saw on Fox.
Yeah, they were funny.
And now we somewhat miss them.
Yeah.
Like we kind of miss some of them.
Yeah.
Seeing them. Like old Sean Spicer.
Sean Spicer, yeah.
Remember, he was the secretary. What was he?
He was the press secretary.
Press secretary.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he hid in the bushes.
And he did hide in the bushes from the reporters.
He got so overwhelmed one day from the reporters asking him questions that he ran and hid in the bushes and pretended he wasn't there.
Yeah.
But they took pictures of him in the bushes.
Yeah.
And all he wanted to do was just be the Easter Bunny because that had been his job previously.
And he ended up on Dancing with the Stars with that bitch Carol Baskin too.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't on the same season as her, but he did eventually end up on Dancing with the Stars, and that was weird. I remember him wearing that lime green skin tight suit, remember? And you're like, what is he doing?
Yeah.
He's dancing around.
Yeah. There was a good SNL sketch where they used to do Sean Spicer and he would drive his desk at people or his podium.
Be like, back up.
Pretty funny.
He was one. And then the other press secretary that we thoroughly enjoyed.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Oh, man.
That woman is amazing.
Hey, guys.
Guys. She was just a bulldog of a woman.
Yeah,
she
just came out just with devil eyes. She just looked. Devil eyes. She shot daggers.
Fists. Just punching. Just take that, you stupid little pansy reporter. Shut your mouth. Don't you talk about my president like that.
It was really funny watching her flounder up there.
Just no nonsense. Mm-hmm. Just punching.
And I knew Trump was watching her, loving it.
Oh, he loved it because she just, fiercely, doggedly defended him anytime.
No matter
what. He was criticized no matter what.
Yeah.
The only time I saw her ever crack or break under pressure was when they brought that little kid in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, and she's a mom. And so this little kid stands up and asks her a question. And she just starts crying at the podium. She's like, you guys, you just making me cry. I kind of know it.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Oh, that woman. She was something.
Mm-hmm.
So she was a person that we just, you know, watched and were amused by. And then others would be Omarosa.
Yeah.
Do you remember she was thing for about 20 seconds?
Mm-hmm. She would be on all the time, depending on the day, talking shit or loving Donald Trump, depends on what day it was.
And she had no real qualifications to be there. But then again, none of them really do.
No, that was kind of what made it so amusing. It was like a reality television.
And then when he finally like fired her, whatever happened, she went out and, of course, wrote a book.
Yeah.
Like a tell-all. They all have written books at this point.
Mm-hmm.
She was one. Then we also used to just watch in awe Steve Bannon.
Oh, yeah. With his 1,000 t-shirts.
Yeah, it was like jacket. Sweaty,
uh-huh.
Rudy.
God, that guy.
Sweaty, alcoholic-looking man with mm-hmm. his 5 shirts and his jacket
yes.
atop those 5 shirts.
Man.
Just oozing sleaze.
Yeah, sweaty, gross, and then the things he was saying was greasy and sweaty and gross, too. It, like, matched his personality.
it matched
his look.
Well, he's been indicted, you know.
Yeah.
He got charged because he started that GoFundMe mm-hmm. to build the wall.
That
actually
happen.
Raised money. People donated to build the wall. But
and
I
he
guess
just kind of took a bunch of
he
it.
He just took the money. He was like, sweet, I'm going to go not build a wall.
Yeah.
But thanks. Yeah, yep. So he's been indicted for that. And then Jeff Sessions.
Yeah. Well, he was kind of a turd before.
He was a total turd. He'd always been a turd.
Yeah.
What was he? He was the... Was he attorney general?
Yeah, I think so.
Attorney general. Because, he was like the country's attorney.
I think so. I can't remember, honestly. What
and Trump official... used to just go around and around and around with him because he got mad because Sessions wouldn't defend him during the whole Russia investigation. Mm.
He
recused himself.
And that upset Donald Trump greatly.
And he was just like, you can't do that. You cannot be here for me. And he's like, yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, I can do that because it's against the law.
Uh-huh. He hasn't gone anywhere since then either.
No, he's still around, but mm-hmm. Not in an official capacity.
Yeah. And because Fox News is so riddled with propaganda, there is a community of people out there who have lost their friends, family, and loved ones to these crazy ideas. There's a documentary called The Brainwashing of My Dad.
It's really good. We've watched it.
I would highly recommend watching that documentary if you were interested in this topic, because she really goes through trying to unbrainwash her dad from Fox News. And it's a success story, which is nice.
She also just explains, or at least tries to explain, breaks it down, mm-hmm. how some people just get absolutely consumed by Fox News.
Yeah, and turned into something that they weren't.
Zombies that just are angry all the time. There's so much anger.
And bitterness. And she's like, doesn't want to see that in her father.
Mm-hmm.
There's a community on Reddit. There's a subreddit for this exact thing. It's called Fox Brain. r/FoxBrain.
So it's like a support group for people?
Yeah, actually, what it says is FoxBrain is a recovery group for people who have lost a loved one to Fox News and other extreme right-wing news sites run by the Murdoch family.
Mm.
You are not alone. This is a place to share your experience and hear from others how they have coped with seeing family members becoming increasingly bitter, angry, xenophobic, and racist due to their obsession with Fox News.
It's definitely a thing.
That's what it says at the top of the subreddit. That's the definition. And I checked it today, right before we started recording. It has 4,100 members, and it was created April 10th, 2019.
Yeah.
So you have to think that's a lot of people within the last year and some change that have went on there and found this place. So it's a pretty populated place. And to give you an idea of what it's like now, here's just the top few posts that were up today. College student stuck with 2 Fox Brain parents. Help.
Help.
Yeah. Another, hi, I'm glad I found this sub because I moved back home and I feel like I'm losing my mind. Dad won't stop with the Chinese virus garbage.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Trump said... He called it the China virus repeatedly.
China plague. He called it the China plague.
Repeatedly during the debate this
week.
Which
is even worse.
Yeah.
And then this one was sad. Has anyone had any success getting their parents back? The replies were almost all negative.
Yeah, because I think once they're gone, you can't get them back.
That's very sad.
Fox has this way of just pulling people in and appealing to this bitterness and anger and gets mm-hmm. them. I mean, people just, it's like hate watch.
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
That's part of the tactics and the way that Fox spins stories and their angles. It gets people riled up. And when you're riled up, I mean, it triggers the chemicals in your brain,
uh-huh.
literally, to like be on edge.
Yeah. I know.
And when you're on edge, you stay on edge until you remove yourself or remove the thing that's doing that to you.
Yeah.
But Fox is 24 hours.
Yeah, it's like a thorn in their brain that's constantly poking them and irritating them, and they lash out at everyone around them. It's horrible to see, and it's horrible to know that people are going through it. I feel lucky because I haven't had any of my immediate family get lost to it, but
yeah,
I know there are people that have. Here's another one. New here, my parents were almost always Fox News evangelical right wingers, but 2020 has made them worse. And there's a lot of replies to that one. So this year has really upped the ante on losing family to Fox.
Well, part of it's because, I mean, it's the virus.
Yeah.
That has exacerbated an already existing problem, because I think that documentary that we watched, The Brainwashing of My Dad, that was several years ago.
Oh yeah, that documentary is years old.
Yeah, and so if it was already a problem then,
it's way worse now.
It's significantly worse now. And what's so interesting, you don't Facebook much, but I do. I see people on Facebook making comments that are almost verbatim what you would hear on Fox News about topics. And I'm just like, they're literally regurgitating what Fox told them.
Exactly, word for word in
some. And some of it's crazy talk.
I know. This one was my favorite one, and I kind of want to go into this one. It said, I feel like my Fox brain parents might be trying to sabotage my future career, which is an interesting thing. And so this guy is posting saying that he's in law school and he's really interested in studying environmental law.
Oh.
But his parents are super right wing, but they're paying for his room and his college. And so he can't tell them that he wants to go into environmental law, or they will pull the plug and sabotage his entire law career. Or that's his fear.
Wow.
And whether or not someone's parents would do that, or any, and whether or not this guy's even true, it's just, that's a reasonable, that I could see that happening.
I'm sure that it could happen.
Yeah.
And probably in some cases would happen.
Yeah. I mean, he got some good replies, like, just tell him you're studying, quote, corporate law. That'll settle it. He's like, time to learn corporate law.
Well,
you just don't tell him it's environmental law.
Fox doesn't really beat around the bush when it comes to their climate change denial.
Right. And I think if he told his parents that he was going to be studying that, they might be like, we're not paying for you to go study some
hoax. Yeah, we're not paying for you to go be some dirty hippie in the woods with a bunch of socialists.
Right. That was a really interesting post. I liked it. He got a lot of really positive replies of people trying to be helpful and give him ideas.
Well, I'm glad they have a community.
They do. It's an active community. For sure.
I wonder, I bet there's probably similar groups on Facebook and stuff.
I'm sure that there is. I just am familiar with this Reddit because I spend time on Reddit. So yeah, that's like the effects in the community that rose up around like actually having someone in your life fall victim to this. I mean, we have some friends that have done it, but I haven't lost a really close loved one.
No, thank goodness.
Thank goodness, yeah. But if it happens, I'm glad to know there's some people out there who have felt it. And if it's happened to you, if you're listening to this and it's happened to you, there are other people. There are people who have had the same thing. And it is a sad thing. You've lost somebody. You really have. Because I don't know how successful you could be at getting someone back from that.
Short of literally turning their power and cable off. I don't know how you would get them back.
Do. Yeah, because Tucker Carlson's going to be there yelling with his bow tie and his...
And Hannity with his thumb-shaped head.
Yeah. And Hannity used to have a left-wing guy named Alan Combs. He used to do a show called Hannity and Combs that was actually kind of theoretically supposed to be balanced. And he's the exact opposite of that now.
He lost his combs and now he's just Hannity and he's off the deep end.
Yeah, he's completely off the deep end. But on a lighter side of things, perhaps maybe we should meander from Fox News over to another part of the internet where you leave reviews for things.
Ooh.
Maybe some unnecessary one-star reviews.
Oh.
What would you think of that idea?
I think that sounds wonderful.
One-star reviews. I have here a review for a giant teddy bear. This giant teddy bear cost $124.
So why?
It's like a 7-foot tall giant teddy bear.
Okay. Let me ask, what would you do with a 7-foot tall?
You give it to a partner, a loved one, or a lot of the reviews I think were for people giving them to their kids who like their kids wish for a giant teddy bear that's bigger than them.
Oh, okay.
So this review is from Amazon customer. It's 1-star. It says, "We'll steal your woman," which I thought, what? This bear might been great. I don't know. I sent it to my girlfriend while I was deployed. A few days later, she broke up with me, and I can't help but blame the woman-stealing bear. I'll see you in hell, bear. That's a pretty good one-star review.
I'll see you in hell,
bear. I'll see you in hell, bear.
You woman-stealing bear, you.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. And he spent $125, and now the woman has left
him. How come you've never bought me a 7-foot teddy bear?
I didn't know you wanted one.
Well, I didn't know that.
Well, I won't get you that one.
I didn't know one that existed. Yeah, you might lose me, babe.
Yeah, so here's another one for the book by David Horowitz. It's a Trumper book, so it fits right in with this whole thing. It's a book called Blitz. Trump will smash the left and make America great. So, you know, you get the kind of content that it is. It's just propaganda.
He will smash the left and make America great.
Yeah, and this review is from Ivana. It says 1-star, garbage. Sure to make your grandfather pace the nursing home hallways and mumble under his breath at passing black teens.
Was that Ivana? Wasn't that Trump's second wife?
Yeah, maybe it was her. That is the person who posted.
Because he was married to Marla Maples, uh-huh. And then he was married to Ivana, and now he's married to Melania. Maybe it was her.
She's like, made my grandpa racist, this book did. And this next one is funny because it's for I Saw a Tiger by Joe Exotic.
Is that a song?
Yeah, it is a song. It is a song by the famous Joe Exotic from Tiger King fame.
Mm.
And it says, one song. Thought this was going to be a great CD purchase when I was high, but it only has one song. I'm a little sad. So old dude was high and thought, hell yeah, like, I'm getting me a Joe Exotic album.
Joe Exotic album. It's probably like $3 or something. He's like, $3? Heck yeah, I'm buy it. And then he's like, wait a minute, it's one song.
Yeah, the reviews on this thing are actually horrible. He has 50% 5-star ratings, but 31% 1-star ratings. People were not digging I Saw a Tiger.
Well, that's too bad.
I know, poor Joe.
Poor Joe Exotic.
Yeah. This is a review for Tide Pods, some Tide Pods.
Tide Pods, yeah, yes.
I would have thought I was expecting a culinary review, but this isn't.
Tide Pod tastes like shit.
No, this is Daniel J. Silverston wrote, buyer beware, pods material can fuse together clothing in the dryer. Okay, so it like welds your clothes together.
But you don't use them in the dryer, they're for the washer.
Right.
Well, Daniel.
There's a lot going on here. I've had two very bad experiences with this product. One, the container has very sharp edges and you can easily cut your fingers badly. So this dude cut his fingers all the time.
He sliced his fingers trying to get a Tide Pod. Maybe that was part of their child-proofing efforts. Yeah, they were like, we won't let the kids eat our Tide Pods, so we'll make the edges really sharp.
Yeah, sharp-ass razor edges to cut your hands to ribbons.
Just slice it up. And then your clothes are all bloody and you got to wash them again.
Yeah, it's a marketing tactic. It says, number two, the pods do not completely dissolve in the washer. When your laundry is in the dryer, the residual pod plastic will fuse together clothing made such as spandex.
Oh.
Thus, I've had these pods ruin clothing for me. Because of the plastic-like substance of the pods containing the detergent ingredients behaves like super glue when heated up in a dryer.
Okay.
I've been able to salvage some clothing by soaking the ruined garment in water and then slowly working the pod glue out of the garment. I will never purchase this product again. I wouldn't either after that experience.
No, I'm definitely. I mean, I'm not a Tide Pod eater or user.
Yeah.
But now I'm definitely not. That sounds terrible. That bloody fingers like trying you reach to get the in to get your Tide Pod, you draw back nubs, they're bleeding.
That was the part that cracked me up about that one. It's not only was the pods lame, but I also sliced my hands to smithereens.
I really do think that may have been the child-proofing.
Yeah. So those are some unnecessary but hilarious 1-star reviews for this week. And that does it for our show this week. If you like what you heard, you can always find us on our website at
carolinasnowflakes.com.
We would love to have you on our Facebook community that's constantly growing. It's an awesome place. It's
facebook.com/Carolina Snowflakes.
And if you have any ideas for anything you'd like to hear us talk about on the show, if you thought anything was funny, if you're mad and you hate us, you can email us.
Carolinasnowflakes@gmail.com.
Gmail.com.
Thanks for listening. Bye.